Right. Should there be a Northern Ireland tax on fizzy drinks? Not only would it cut obesity rates, but also raise money. Sinn Féin MLA Marcelo Mueller suggested it's something that we should be looking at. This is what he said on BBC Radio Ulster's Inside Politics.
We need to identify ways in which we can augment the budget. Some of these may be small sums produced from innovative schemes such as the plastic bag levy. But there are other ways, and our Scottish friends have shown some of the way forward, and other jurisdictions have. And one of the things we said, let's look at a tax on sugary drinks, or a levy on sugary drinks at duty. Is that a way of raising money?
What do you think? Should we be looking at a tax on fizzy drinks? Gavin Partington, the Director General of the British Soft Drinks Association. Good morning to you, Gavin.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning. And Neil Johnson from the Northern Ireland Chess, Heart and Stroke Association. Good morning to you, Neil.
Morning.
Case then for taxing is more, Neil.
Well, I think it's something we need to keep under review because there's a big obesity problem, including here in Northern Ireland. You know, six out of 10 adults are overweight and a quarter of all children are overweight, and there are big health implications for all of that. So we need to consider all the options, and a tax on sugary drinks is one of the ones I think we need to consider. But as I say, by no means would it be a silver bullet. There's a range of other issues that need to be tackled as well.
Yeah, but taxing is even more than we're ready to tax, Neil, suggests that we shouldn't and cannot have the freedom to look after ourselves, that you've got to dictate from government now what we eat and what we drink.
Well, again, yes, that's why, you know, we would be quite keep this area under review, but we would very much take the line that you have there, actually, that mainly it's about educating people, it's about supporting people in behavioural change. We do need to make people aware. I think the big issue is that people are not aware. Some of these energy drinks have 78 grams of sugar in them. Some well-known sports drinks have 40 grams of sugar in them. If I sat you down, Stephen, and put 18.5 teaspoons of sugar into a drink in front of you, you'd be horrified. And yet that's what our children and adults are drinking. So I think there's a huge issue about awareness.
18.5 teaspoons of sugar in what?
In an energy drink. I obviously can't name the brand.
Is that right, Calvin?
There are some energy drinks which do have a high sugar level. I mean, energy drinks are called energy drinks for a reason. They either provide an energy boost through caffeine or sugar. But the truth is that there is a wider range of drinks, some of which have no and low calories too. So the option is there for consumers. I'm glad Neil accepts the point that this is actually about education ultimately. And I think that the idea, and he acknowledges of course, that a tax would not be a silver bullet. I think a tax would actually be far worse. If you look at the experience in France, where they introduced a tax on soft drinks in 2012, actually consumption went down slightly in year one, but then up again in year two, and then grew significantly in 2014. So there's no evidence that it reduces consumption. But, you know, the principle of a tax as well is based on a misapprehension. It's based on the notion that somehow obesity is all to do with soft drinks consumption. No, it's not. Obesity is due to the fact that, overall, too many of us are taking in too many calories and not getting enough exercise.
Yeah, but it's pretty effortless, isn't it, to swallow so much sugar and therefore so many calories in one of your drinks?
Well, you see, part of the health lobby, I'm afraid, is convinced that if they simply focus on sugar, it's a good way to have this political debate about funding for public health systems. I think, actually, that's misleading to the public. Clearly, many of us are getting too much sugar in our diet, and we should do something about it, absolutely. Part of that is understanding clearly about the principles of having a balanced diet and what we can and can't eat. But to suggest that obesity is down to sugar per se, or even down to one product, is very misleading.
How many teaspoonfuls of sugar is there in an average can of Coke or something of that ilk?
If you take a can of Coke, I think everybody knows that a can of Coke has quite a fair amount of sugar in it. It's got 7 or 8 teaspoonfuls of sugar. That's not a problem. It's got 139 calories. If you look at a chocolate bar, that's got 250 calories.
Problem.
Think of it in that context, and actually it's not about the sugar. It's about the overall calories in and what you're doing in your lifestyle. And if you're sat slumped on a sofa and you have lots of one thing to eat and lots of one thing to drink, that's clearly not going to be very balanced. But if you're doing exercise, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think awareness is the key here. You know, even in some smoothies, Stephen, there can be 8 teaspoons in it. And I think that the issues out there that people are actually drinking a lot of these drinks unaware of the consequences, unaware of the levels of sugar in them. And that's why is one of the reasons why we have so many people who are obese or overweight and obese. And I think this is why, you know, we need to tackle all the issues, as Gavin says, you know, things like portion size, about labelling, about in-store promotions, about advertising. But a sugar tax is certainly one of the possibilities, because we do know at the end of the day that taxes, whether it's on tobacco or on alcohol, those are the things that actually do they are one of the ways of influencing behaviour. But the jury would still be out. I would agree with Gavin. The jury would still be out on sugar tax. Some areas in Mexico, they can point to good results. In other areas, the results are less conclusive.
Shouldn't your industry, Gavin, be showing some more moral responsibility rather than just being driven by profit? For example, why is your industry not reducing the amount of sugar
in the full fat
cans?
It is, you know, it is, and it has been showing that level of moral responsibility. The truth is that...
Well, how much sugar has it reduced an average can by?
Been a critical element of the industry's strategy for a long time now. In the last 20 years, the proportion of drinks on the market with no or low added sugar have actually doubled from 30% to 60%.
No. That's the diet versions.
Yeah,
but Gavin, that's the diet versions. But for the full fat, so to speak, versions, you know what I'm talking about. Why is your industry not reducing the amount of sugar in those?
Many of the drinks you refer to have actually been reformulated. The biggest companies in the sector have actually been taking sugar out of products, reformulating using artificial sweeteners or now the natural sweetener stevia. These things are happening. So I do challenge your assessment that we're not behaving responsibly. We are.
Well, what you're doing is that you're marketing now bigger portions every time, aren't you? The bottles are getting bigger.
That's not actually the case. The increase in the market has actually included a massive increase in the availability of 250ml portions, the smaller can sizes. That's part of the commitment to make a wider range of healthy choices available to consumers. You know, the industry is acting along a whole range of measures, reducing calories in product, reformulating where possible, and those smaller pack sizes. That's the right thing to do. I think it's the responsible thing to do.
Okay. Final word to you, Neil.
Well, I think we've just got to focus in on obesity. You know, obesity is costing Northern Ireland, dealing with obesity is costing us £370 million a year. And we have a situation, Stephen, where 24% of children, one in four children, are obese and 40% of them are overweight. Now, we in Chest, Heart and Stroke, as well as sort of focusing in on issues, you know, the possibility of sugar tax in areas like that, we are doing a lot of work in schools trying to educate children about the needs of taking exercise, of having a balanced diet, and say there is no silver bullet, and we have to increase awareness of the dangers of these drinks and then educate children about the alternatives, the healthy alternatives, and supporting behavioural change rather than aggressively going at people. It's basically giving people the education and help to choose the right products.
Neil, thank you very much. Gavin, lovely to talk to you this morning. Thank you, sir.